coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online. And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I'm live with you today. This is the talk show Hell Hates. The more you listen, the more you know why. Excuse my voice. It's still, number one, not recovered from last week. Last week, as you know, busy week. started out Sunday preaching. And then Monday, I recorded the Watchmen broadcast that is out this week, talking about cryptid creatures. That's what you were viewing shortly before today's program today. It's out today. And I want you to, on top of the abuse of my voice last week, just the pollen and everything like that in the air. It's in my nose today. But anyway, the new website for cryptid creatures is, appreciate a brother in Australia that has helped us out with some of the design issues of it. And we are going to start importing the cases that we that people have sent to us since, I'm going to say, probably March, I think, is when I first asked people to send me stories that they have, things that they've not been able to tell hardly anybody, of encounters of Bigfoot, Sasquatch. And if you think I'm kidding, I'm not. I am not making this up. I did a Watchmen broadcast a few years ago on mystery creatures of the Bible. And my theory, if you want to hear, you want to hear what I think about Bigfoot and Sasquatch and all that? Okay. Yeah, I believe it. I believe they're real. I told you about the man that I met several years ago that told me his story. He was a businessman, professional, educated. I'm not saying if you're uneducated, you're stupid and you're lying about everything. But, you know, sometimes hillbillies and rednecks tend to exaggerate things. But his wife, you know, told me about it first and said, I want you to meet my husband and you'll like him because he saw Bigfoot. And I said, okay. So he told me a story. He wasn't lying to me. You know, why would somebody, you know, there are people in this world who make things up and they want the notoriety. You know, I saw a UFO, and they came down, and they talked to me, and they gave me some of their technology, and they gave me this ointment to rub on my shoulder, and now I can, you know, do this. And there's some people who do that stuff. There's some people, I don't understand the concept, but there are some people who fabricate videos and put them on YouTube. Okay? If you don't have anything better to do than lie, you know, but that's what people do. Excuse me. So anyway, he told me a story, and I believe him. So anyway, people, you know, have been sending in their stories and their testimonies to me. A woman told me her Bigfoot story, and it's a doozy. And it scared her. She was about 12 or 13 years old. She's now in her 70s. I asked her, I said, who have you told besides me? And she said, I told my mom and dad. In fact, her and her older brother witnessed this thing shaking their car. And she said, other than my parents, the night that it happened, and they didn't believe us. She said, so I just kept my mouth shut. I haven't told a soul. Well, she told me. and I have the recording of her testimony. I asked her questions. You know, how does a and this woman is not known for her, you know, Bigfoot research that she does on the on YouTube all the time. How did she know to tell me about the smell? Those who have witnessed a Sasquatch or Bigfoot, they said the stench is unbelievable. It's awful. Okay. How did she know to tell me that? So there's just, I asked her questions. And so there was just, you know, the devil's in the details. And in this case, the devil was definitely in those details. So anyway, we started working on, I had a meeting with the girls this morning. And I said, I think we need to, whatever we're doing now, we need to focus on getting this website going so more people can come forward and tell their stories. And I was just stunned at the number of people who have witnessed supernatural events. And so I felt, you know, just feel like, It's time to come out of the closet with your story. Tell the world. I'm not going to stick your name to it. Don't worry about you're going to get fired for this. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about what people think about you at church or whatever. Your name is not going to be attached to this, but I want to hear your story because for the most part, I believe you. Now, having said that, the lady who wrote me an email, four of them, who said, you know, they start out by saying, Pastor, I know you're not going to believe this, but I am the angel Uriel. Nope, I'm not kidding. I didn't just make that up. I didn't just pull that out of my hat. Four emails from a lady. You know, there's an emoji for that. Oh, my goodness. So that's what I did. So that one, I don't believe, but your testimony, your witness of what you've seen, I want to try to put it in the light of the scriptures because I believe that we are walking into a supernatural event is going to take place and people's hearts are going to fail them for fear. You know, the Bible says that wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. And I think that, you know, I've made this statement. It's a bold statement, but I stand by it. I think the Bible is more right now than it ever has been from the moment that Moses wrote down what God told him to write from to all the way to, you know, John writing the words that Jesus gave him in the book of Revelation. I think that Bible is more accurate and right now than it ever has been. Because God has retained a testimony of the events that are going to take place. And when you read the book of Revelation, you read the book of Daniel, there is a supernatural. In fact, all of these things are going to be beyond what is normal and beyond what we see in nature, is the meaning of supernatural. So, the email address is witness@cryptidbible.com. And some of you have already started sending in. And yes, the person who told me they were the angel Uriel probably got it from watching Pastor Mike online. You may be watching today. And no, I don't believe you. Not for a second do I believe you. So, you just be mad at me if you want to. This will be the talk show that hell and you don't like. So anyway, send me your testimony. Send me your eyewitness, what you saw with your own eyes. Or if your dad told you that he saw this, or your mom said she saw this, and you believe them, and they're now gone on to the next life, and you want their testimony as part of this, send it to witness@cryptidbible.com, and we'll look at your story, and if we feel like that it fits in with the criteria and so on, we'll put it on our website. I can't guarantee that everything that everybody says on that website is going to be 100% the gospel truth. There is no other truth that's 100% besides the gospel. But I think some of these stories are real. I think they're true. I think they're happening. So anyway, I did that video Monday. And then, of course, Pastor Mike Online Tuesday. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday was 3.5 hours every morning of the pastor's conference in Kenya. And what I was so in love with these men who came to this conference and who sat. I mean, I could see them. We were using dual technology. We were using Skype so that I could see them. And then we were streaming on Sermon Audio so they could see me and the notes that I were putting on the screen. And I watched these men. They were writing these things down. They were taking notes. These men, they brought their Bibles. They came. They were eager. They were hungry. They were very appreciative of the ministry that God has given us. And to that, I say, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. And so my voice is, you know, it's been taxed. It's, you know, I probably need to shut up for a week. But who's got time for that, right? So especially when drug cartels. Let me read this. This is going to dovetail into, this is part of what I taught them on Friday. The pastors, you understand, in third world countries, there's a lot more open witchcraft and open sorcery and voodoo, especially in Africa. They deal with that probably on a regular basis. You know, in America, it's more subtle. It's there. It's the same spirit, but it's more subtle in America. It's called different, you know, this is New Age or this is holistic or whatever, but it's still devils. And so I did some sort of a new study, and I'm still doing it. I spent most of the day yesterday putting notes together on spirits, the Bible's definition of different types of spirits. 505 times the word spirit is in the King James Bible. And, you know, out of that, you've got to sort through the Spirit of the Lord, or, you know, where it's referring to God's Spirit or the Spirit that is in man. But then you start looking at spirits that are in the Bible. There are spirit of whoredoms, spirit of drunken spirits. There, and I may read some of those as we go through the day today, but I'm going to give you the study, the beginning of it, of identifying our enemies. I'm still talking about the beast during Pastor Mike Online and giving out the information from the Bible of what the Bible says the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the beast is, how we're going to identify him, what he's going to do. So that's still, you know, I'm still putting together that. But I want to give you some things that I've already shared with the pastors in Kenya today, especially in the light of this article, Drug Cartels Worship. In parentheses, it says narco saints, the patron saints of narcotics, making them more dangerous. Narco saints or patron saints of the drug cartels are making the criminals even bolder. Channel 2 investigative reporter Mark Wynn talked with a veteran DEA undercover agent who has extensive experience with cartel members worshiping statues and lighting candles in the name of the drug trade. And I can tell you, you know, I've watched some documentaries on the American mafia, mob members. And in order to be what's called a made man, this is somebody who has rank in the mafia. He's not just a street hustler. He is a guy, a wise guy. He is somebody that has sworn a blood oath. And literally, in order to be a made man, they will, you know, prick your finger, blood dripping out on the floor, dripping down your hand. And you will swear blood. What they do is they take a picture of some Catholic saint, and they'll light it on fire, put it in the guy's hand, and make him swear an oath saying, you know, may you burn in hell if you, like this saint, if you ever violate this oath, okay, this is, you know, this is like Masonic ritual stuff, you know, or entering a witch coven or a, you know, a satanic coven or some kind. This, they're serious about this. You don't leave the mafia. You don't leave the mob. You don't say, you know, I'm up for retirement next year. I want to go to Florida and, you know, spend time with the grandkids. It's like leaving the CIA. You don't leave the CIA. Your agency, no matter what. So this stuff is evil, satanic, serious, deathly serious stuff to the people who are in it. Talking about the big guys. And how do you become, what kind of mindset do you have to become an undercover narcotics agent? Or an undercover, there was a guy, I watched his interview last week. He was 6 years as an FBI agent. 6 years undercover. And several times he came under suspicion. You know, mafia boss lay a gun on the table and start quizzing him and asking him questions. And this guy, 6 years undercover, usually 6 months undercover. This guy was 6 years undercover. Him with a wife and two kids. Undercover in the mob and put away some very high-ranking guys in the mob. How do you do that? Good night. Anyway, the article says some people believe that they are invincible when they're under the protection of a saint. The DEA agent told the investigator. Atlanta DEA special agent in charge, Robert Murphy, is no stranger to shrines or narco saints. He says they are facilitating the flooding of Georgia streets with illegal drugs, including heroin, methamphetamine, cocaine, fentanyl. I'm sure that was an oversight here, but they left marijuana out. They left marijuana out of that list. I'm sure it was, you know, just, you know, something that they he was going to type it, didn't do it. I had a doctor tell me last week, he said, you know, it doesn't make sense. He says, drug companies spend billions of dollars testing out various kinds of chemical potions that they have put together to make sure they're safe. Because they know that if they put a bad drug out and doctors start prescribing it, like has happened before, they're going to get lawsuits out their ears. So better to spend the money now to make sure that the drug is somewhat safe than to try to rush something through, pay off a bunch of government officials or whatever, put it out on the street, because you're going to, in America, you're going to get sued. If you put out a bad drug, you are going to get sued. So this doctor tells me, he said, I don't understand. With all the legal protections in place against, you know, pharmaceutical drugs and how they have to be tested so many ways under certain conditions, you know, with blind studies being done and billions of dollars being spent, why is it that now all of a sudden marijuana is safe and it's never been tested the way ibuprofen has been tested? And I went, it's the spirit du jour, it's the spirit of the day. He says Atlanta is a major hub. I mean, you're talking about from a transportation point, from a trafficking standpoint. We have a huge user base, so there's money here. Wynn asked Murphy if he finds the shrines at major drug labs and drug stations often. He says, yes, it would be more newsworthy if we didn't find one. He said the narco saints make Georgia communities less safe as cartel bosses uses them to recruit and embolden their soldiers because it makes them not afraid of death. These guys, and this is, you can point right to the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican. This is the world that they've created. They've created all of these saints, which are no saints. You and I are saints. According to the scriptures, we're the saints, not them. These are gods. These are devils. Is who they are. St. Patrick, St. Mary, St. Ignatius. All these are just names. They're not the real people that you read in the Bible. These are just names that they have attributed to gods, to devils. And say masses to them, which means they're killing Jesus in honor of these gods, these devils. So anyway, it's that mentality, it's that world that they've created that emboldens the drug cartels, because they feel now that they have the protection of heaven. You know, mafia's been doing this for years. And then think about it. You've got the Italian mobsters, and you've got the Latin America mobsters. And the Catholic Church is the religion of both. What does that tell you? Do you think drug money sits in a Vatican vault somewhere? Of course it does. You think priests are in on it? I know a situation in the St. Louis area where a St. Louis Archdiocese Catholic priest was in it up to here in the St. Louis mob. Fact. FBI knows about this, so I'm not saying anything that they haven't already investigated. But you're talking about, when you're talking about these narco saints, you're talking about devils. You're talking about spirits that are involved in delivering heroin, methamphetamine, LSD, marijuana. Now they just, all you have to do to eliminate the drug problem of a country is make it legal. Now it's not a problem anymore. Now it's a medical alternative. Anyway, see, it's dangerous, particularly for law enforcement officers, is that these people believe they're invincible and they're not afraid of death, because if they get, they believe that if they get killed in the drug trade, that this saint has them locked in with Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This saint's got them locked into heaven. So even if they do die, they're going to get to spend eternity in heaven. I'm not sharing my heaven, the kingdom of my Father, with drug kingpins. No way, no how. And it's everywhere. Let me do some of this too. Let me read this story here. And I'm dead serious on this one. People have asked me this question. Pastor, do you believe in haunted houses? Bingo, yes, I do. Thousands of, quote, haunted dolls that are supposedly inhabited by real spirits are being sold on eBay. Once upon a time, it would have been unthinkable to sell, quote, haunted dolls that are supposedly inhabited by real spirits in America. But in 2019, apparently anything goes. That shows you the spiritual degradation that exists in this country. Whereas 60, 70 years ago, beyond, you had America that was at least Christianized, if it wasn't Christian. It still had the same morals as the Ten Commandments. They were aligned up. And I'm not saying everybody was a saint back then in America. What I'm telling you is that when people did sin, it was hidden. It was kept in closets. It was done out of the way. Yes, there were abortions performed back then. But so do what? Do we make it legal now? So now it's okay to kill a baby? No. We just legalized a moral issue. And with, you know, the stroke of a pen, now some governor or some president says it's now okay to do this. Or some Supreme Court justice says it's okay to kill your unborn child. But it's still murder. So if those things were done, and they were done in secret. But now, I wish I'd have printed off the story now. A billboard going into Colorado advertising the fact that you are safe and legal to get an abortion inside the state of Colorado. Whereas, praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah, you have states like Alabama and Missouri who are actively trying to outlaw as many abortions as we possibly can. It's about time. If the federal government won't do it, then the states have to stand up. And you guys listen to me, you're going to have to quit voting on some of those union Democrat congressmen that you're putting in office. Well, they're for the working man. No, they're killing babies. And they're legalizing marijuana, and they're legalizing sodomite marriages. And then the Republicans are doing it too, if some of them are that way. But what I'm saying is, just because we legalize something in America doesn't make it right. And there was a time in this country when evil was shunned, at least on the outside, but now evil is embraced. And so this article, you know, if Mattel would have put a toy out 70 years ago, well, I guess they did. So whoever put it, was it Mattel or Parker Brothers that put out Ouija boards? Don't play with Ouija boards. Anyway, let me read the story. My mind's racing all over the place. In 2019, not only are thousands of such dolls for sale on Etsy and eBay, I've never heard of Etsy before, that's a new one, but it also turns out they're exceedingly popular. Etsy and eBay list thousands of dolls purportedly inhabited by everything from evil witches to judgmental spirits that might call you fat to young children and fairy spirits. Most haunted dolls sell for around $50, and see, that's the thing. Whether they're haunted or not, who cares? If we say it's haunted or it's inhabited by a spirit, we can jack the price up. I mean, here's this, you know, cheap piece of Chinese junk that we bought for 58 cents because we bought a crate of it. We're going to say it's possessed with Satan. Now we can sell it for $50 on eBay and people will buy it. Most haunted dolls sell for around $50 plus. But the most highly prized ones are priced well into the four figures. There's a formula, too, for how they're sold. Each listing contains a detailed overview of the spirit's life story, details of said spirit's death, and a description of their personality. Dolls are labeled active or highly active if paranormal phenomena are said to occur frequently in their vicinity. Some are advertised as being able to move objects, make noises, or communicate via telepathy or Ouija board. Don't mess with Ouija boards or tarot cards or anything like, or Pokemon. Pokemon stands for Pocket Monster. And in Japanese theology, if you call it that, the Pokemon characters themselves are spirits. What does that tell you? That you're playing with devils, or your kids are playing with devils. We didn't allow Matthew and Caleb to play with these things because they're playing with toys that represent spirits, devils. Some are advertised as being able to move objects, make noises, or communicate via telepathy or Ouija board, while others are meant to act as creative muses, play matchmaker by revealing potential lovers in dreams, or emit positive energy. Let me correct something. Devils don't emit positive energy. It's not possible for a corrupt tree to bring forth good fruit. Sadly, most of the people buying these dolls have no idea what they're getting into, and many of the purchasers will end up dealing with some extremely serious consequences. My buddy Nick sent me a video to watch, and I'm not even going to tell you. I won't give the link out, nothing, because, I mean, I buy it. In a world where CG and Photoshop and After Effects and all that stuff, I mean, I understand videos can be faked. But this was real. This guy was videotaping his encounter. He kept hearing stuff going on at night in his apartment. And so he'd wake up, get a camera out, And there was a manifestation of a spirit in this guy's apartment. So he goes to work and gets advice from friends, right? So guess what they tell him to do? Well, what you need to do is get a Ouija board so you can contact. And I'm just going, what are you, crazy? And so that's what he did. The Ouija board is moving. The planchette's moving all by itself. And then all of a sudden, he's getting on video manifestations of this spirit. Blah! And he's, you know, he's hoping that if he can, you know, get in contact with the spirit. He was told that, you know, if he can get in contact with it and you learn its name, you know, maybe you can release it. Maybe you can free the spirit from your house. You know, that's a good idea, right? And this guy was sobbing. He was terrorized by what was going on every night in his apartment. People, and if you're sitting there going, I don't buy that stuff. That's all made up. That's, you know, that's YouTube sensational stuff. That's, I mean, yeah, there's some of that out there. There's some of that out there. And I, you know, I watch a video and I'm, you know, I can look at that and go, okay, that's fake. Yeah, that's. But some responses from people just can't be faked. And some of the things that I've seen that I will not share, I will not give you a link, say, hey, you need to watch it, because I'm telling you, it will freak you out. Now, do I believe that if you watch it, you're going to get devil possessed? No. But there are just some things you shouldn't just sit and watch all day long. If you know that God has given you a specific, I mean, I'm a watchman on the wall. It's my job to recognize evil. God protects me. God has, I mean, I've had several bouts with devils before. Not face-to-face or anything like that, but it's my job to recognize evil so I can tell everybody, hey, there's evil coming. We need to get ready here. But if you're not set aside for that, don't mess with it. Don't go reading. I guess I'll mention Pastor Cooley has had a situation in the past where a guy was just reading all these occult books all the time, and there was just something not right about that guy. Sure enough, this guy and his wife were just full of devils. Now, he didn't get that way from reading these books. He was that way already. Should have just, you know, you wise up after a while. Anybody having that kind of interest and that kind of, there's books I won't read. I won't read Crowley. I won't read Eliphas Levi. Some of this stuff is just pure wicked. And I'm just saying, there is a real spiritual world around us that is making an encroachment into the world that we live in more and more and more and more. And if your mindset is, I don't believe in this stuff, you need to change your mindset. If you don't think that houses can be inhabited or haunted by spirits, think again, because your Bible says otherwise. Let me put some things on the screen for you. We'll start there. We'll just get right. We'll get the old Bible out. Amen. And we'll let the Bible be our guide to all of these things. Put on the whole armor of God. And when he said whole armor, he meant the whole armor. What good does it do for you to go to battle if you've got your shield of faith, but you left your helmet in the front seat of the car? What good does that do? The devil's going to bash your skull in. He's not going to shoot at your chest. He's going to bash your skull in because you left your helmet of salvation. And boy, that's very important to remember. If you think that you're some hotshot dude that can beat the devil and you're not born again, ask the seven sons of Sceva how that one turned out. Because one devil beat those guys bloody, stripped them of all of their clothes, sent them out screaming like little girls. Peter, I know, and Paul, or Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you? That devil said. So, got to have a helmet of salvation. Means you got to be born again. You got to have God's spirit. You got to be under his wings, being protected by God. So put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And it is wickedness. And they are in high places. Let me see if I can find the note that I made on that. So what I did was, I just started going through the Bible. The first word I started with was the word spirit. Then after that, spirits. Then my next word was going, and that's, by the way, the word spirits, 46 times in the King James. That's interesting. That's very interesting. Because 46, number chromosomes, but it's death times two is what it is. The devil, the phrase, the devil, 46 times, okay? And it's this, and it shows the second death, because the 46th time the devil is found in the King James Bible says he's thrown into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is the second death. The Bible's right. That Bible's right. Amen. 2 Chronicles 11:15, he ordained him priests for the high places, and for the devils, and for the calves which he had made. So when it says spiritual wickedness in high places, it means spiritual wickedness in the high places. And this king had ordained priests, not just Levite priests to offer sacrifices unto God. He's got him a new priesthood here. Satanic priesthood, offering sacrifices in the high places unto devils, which are also spirits. So, devils was the next word. Devil or devils is the next word. And I'm not anywhere near done with this study. And it's just a study for my own personal knowledge. I don't know everything yet, but I want to know more now or tomorrow than I did yesterday. So, and I told the men in Kenya this, to be a good teacher, you got to be a good student. You can't tell what you don't know, and if you don't know it from the Bible, then you don't know it. I taught them to think Bible in everything they did, everything that they taught, think scriptures. Don't give them your, you know, I tell stories about myself oftentimes and so on, and that's nothing wrong with that. But the best stories that can be told are the stories from the scriptures. Give them Bible illustrations. Let the Bible be the teacher of the Bible. So, what are these? Let's break these down. What are these different spirits? What are principalities? What are powers? You know, what does that even mean? What about rulers of the darkness of this world? You know, I feel led to do this first. Let me bring my Bible search program over here and go off notes here for a minute. And let's look at this issue of can a house be haunted? Well, let's go to Revelation. Revelation 18. The Bible says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the fallen, or Babylon the great, is fallen, and it's become the habitation of devils." Babylon, wherever Babylon is. And I think it's limiting to say that Babylon and God's meaning of Babylon is restricted to just the Vatican. I think that's very short-sighted, and I think you're overlooking some things that are probably obvious. I mean, isn't it possible that in your own life, Babylon could exist, being a habitation of devils? Isn't it possible that in your own family, your own house, could be a place where Babylon is, where there is confusion, where there is disorder, where there is a hatred for God's word? To simply say, Babylon's the Vatican, that's it. To simply say that, very short-sighted. And it does. It overlooks areas where you personally might be involved in the operations and going on of Babylon the Great. Where you or somebody you love could be a willing participant in whoredoms against God. Spiritual whoredoms against God. So, it's wherever Babylon is, wherever her spirit is, there is going to be a dwelling place for devils. They're going to reside there. They're going to live there. They're going to house up there. Babylon, the great, has fallen, has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Remember, the fowls of the air are typologic of spirits. Jesus himself said so when he taught us the parable of the seed and the sower. Because he says, you know, when he teaches the parable, gives a parable, you know, some fell by the wayside and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Then he says, now I'm going to give you the meaning of it. The fowls of the air, Satan comes down immediately, taketh away the word that was sown, so that it does not take root. So he's telling you that devils, the devil, are seen, typified in the Bible as the birds, the fowl of the air. Somebody asked me a question, and at first I said, I don't know about that. They asked me about the game Angry Birds. Is that a picture of Babylon the Great? And at first I went, nah, because I thought they were saying, you know, video games are evil. And well, okay. But then they said, you know, Babylon's a cage for hateful birds. Hateful, angry. And I went, that's not bad. You know, could be. I don't know. I never played the thing. Shooting birds, shooting pigs. I mean, I've never played it. So anyway, Babylon may be in a lot of places that we don't suspect. Now, one thing I don't want you to be is superstitious. Don't be unreasonable when it comes to, you know, being in fear of devils or, you know, satanic powers and things like that. And again, my friend, Pastor Cooley, God bless him, had somebody, wouldn't give his name or her name, writes him an email and says, Mike Hoggard, you've gotten in with Mike Hoggard, and we know for a fact Mike Hoggard's in the Illuminati. Yeah, we've been watching him for years. He's in the Illuminati, and he is opening up portals of devils, and devils are just flying out of his fingertips. Because, and they said, here's proof right here. And they watched a PMO I just did, and I was talking about the heavens, because I was going against the flat earth, and I said something to the effect of, some of these people think that God made the heavens this little bitty thing. You know, when we talk, we use our hands, especially if you're Italian, right? You use your hands or whatever knife you're holding in your hand. But we use our fingers and our hand gestures and facial expressions to give, you know, emphasis to our words. I'm doing it now. Now, don't even think about it. But somebody said that because they captured me making the 666 sign, and I'm just going, oh, you're kidding me. They actually said that I was opening portals where devils are going to come out on people. Now, look. You know, I have studied a little bit of Wicca. A little bit of witchcraft, a little bit of masonry, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. In the position that I'm in to warn people where the evil is. So there's some things that I know. And I'm telling you, if it was that easy to open up satanic portals where devils could be manifested just by putting my finger and my thumb together, Aleister Crowley spent years perfecting certain rituals, memorizing certain, you know, spells and incantations, and he built the Bolskin house on the shores of Loch Ness, I'm sure because there was a monster there, and it was oriented in such a way with a room specifically designed to do rituals in. If all he had to do was scratch his nose with his fingers and his thumb to get devils to come out, I'm sure he would have done it. So, don't be superstitious when it comes to devils and what they can do. It's not that easy. That's the point. While it is easy for us to talk to God, and you can do it every day, and children can talk to God. That's how easy it is. Devils are different. That's one of the things that makes them different, is that the mastery of any satanic religion, be it Kabbalah or Buddhism or, you know, Hinduism or Wicca or anything like that, it takes years of practice. It takes mastery of skills and rituals just to get a magic spell cast. I mean, it takes a lot of labor and work to do this. So it's not just as simple as my finger accidentally touched the tip of my thumb and now devils are everywhere. That's not how it works. I mean, hasn't your finger ever touched the end of your thumb before? You ever done that? Okay? You ever picked something out of your nose and did that with it, right? That doesn't mean devils are flying all around you now, because that happened. All right? So anyway, I'm just saying, don't be superstitious about the power of Satan. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And there's just some things, I just don't live my life in constant fear that something I accidentally did or said or thought or whatever, and now all of a sudden I've got to get an exorcism performed. I don't believe that way. I mean, you know, Psalm 91 is still active. It still applies. It's still part of the Word of God. And God promised that if we would abide, abiding means it's where we live. It's if you're going to look for us, this is where you're going to find us. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, okay, and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So I'm just saying that there is almost a craze when it comes to satanic or demonic or, you know, evil things happening. Some people just believe that some of the simplest little things that they say or do or their eyes saw or whatever can all of a sudden now, I've got devils all over me and that's terrible. Listen, you have grace applied to your life on a daily basis. So anyway, I hope that helps you. I hope that relieves some of the fears in you that everything you do could be some sort of satanic trigger to manifest Satan in your life. I don't think it's quite that easy to do. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And that's what sets us apart from every... While the devils may have their way in practically everybody else's life, even when you were lost, God protected you and preserved you unto the day of your salvation, did he not? So, give God the praise and the glory and the power, not Satan. Now, having said that, there are definitely places where devils like to live. I have a collection of books. One, I can't remember if this was sent to me or I saw it somewhere or what. And it was a guy writing a book about spirits. And it was written from a non-Christian viewpoint. So I'm looking at it and I'm just going, okay, what? I just remember everything I read from this guy, I'm going to take with a grain of salt. And I'm going to test it to see whether what he said was true or not. So let me read what he said about where spirits live. This is what I find interesting. Spirits live among us, he said. Many possess powerful links with specific locations. I can show you that in scriptures. And he mentions the presiding spirit of a particular mountain or city, for instance. Now, this guy's done his homework. And again, he's not, as I'm reading through this book, I don't see a guy that's born again, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, carrying a King James Bible around. But he certainly knows something about spirits, probably because he's got a lot of them in his life. And when he said, you know, presiding spirit of a particular mountain or city, for instance, there are spirits that are by name. Let me find my note here. There's dumb spirits, deaf spirits, unclean spirits, spirit of whoredom, spirits that require sacrifices, spirits of nations or peoples. 2 Chronicles 21, moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians. Now, I don't think the Bible's just talking about their general character and nature. I think there is a spirit, a principality that rules over the Philistines. We know that there's one, and I'll get into more of that here in a little bit. There's a prince of the people of Persia. There's a prince of Greece, a prince of the people of Israel. Michael is the prince of the Jews. Jesus is, of course, the prince of princes. So what this guy said is not wrong. Now, and here's what was interesting about what he said. He said, you know, they're presiding spirits of particular mountain or city, for instance. I asked Michael, my son-in-law, you know, one of the mountains of Kenya, there's Mount Kilimanjaro, other mountains in Kenya, and I asked him, I said, do people have superstitions about those mountains? He said, oh yeah, they believe, you know, devils live up there, or certain spirits live up there. Well, he's not wrong, okay? They're not wrong in thinking that. And he said, or with general regions such as lakes, oceans, forests, desert swamps, the moon. Think about that one. Spirits reside in caves. The man from the Gadarenes, Legion, for we are many. Where did he live? In the catacombs and tombs. Graveyards. Do you think evil spirits really inhabit cemeteries? Oh my goodness, yes, 1,000 times yes. Why? Association, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Dragons live where death is. Spirits reside in caves, trees, the groves. Think about the groves in the Bible. Why did God not want them to build groves? Why did Josiah have them cut down? Why did the Druids go to the woods What was their particular attraction to oak trees, etc.? Some spirits are profoundly attached to their own shrines and images. That also is biblical. Others prefer to stay near the humans they love and serve. I don't believe that love part. Sometimes residing in their homes. Some spirits haunt marketplaces and bathhouses. Ghosts may linger at the scene of a crime. That I believe. Where innocent blood is shed, like abortion mills. That I believe. Spirits also possess their very own realms. Here's what he said about the definition of a shaman. You know what a shaman is, right? Like a high-ranking person who deals like he's the connecting port between our world and the spiritual world. And, you know, with these shamans, of course, there's different rules around the world. But in most places where shamans are, they're referred to as the untouchables. Have you not ever heard the phrase, please don't squeeze the shaman? That's funny. Anyway, true definition of a shaman is someone who can journey back and forth between human and spirit realms. People have out-of-body experiences. Shamanism is among the primal human skills. That I don't believe. Let's see here. Where was it I read? Ah, here we go. Listen to this. Thresholds and crossroads are particularly conducive to spirit encounters. Listen to this one. When it said thresholds or crossholds. 1 Samuel. In fact, let me pull that up. 1 Samuel. You remember when they brought the Ark of the Covenant to Dagon? Now, this was not some superstitious idea they had. Dagon wanted the Ark. Because it. Remember what the conspiracy is in the Bible. I sit in the seat of God. Is what the Prince of Tyre said in Ezekiel 28. The man of sin says, he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The Ark of the Covenant is the throne of God. It is something that Satan and the Antichrist desire to possess. They want to sit on God's throne. And they want everybody to think that they're God. Right? So when they... The Philistines took the Ark of God, 1 Samuel 5. They brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon, set it by Dagon. Dagon is an idol, but he is also a devil. A real, genuine, little g, god. And so, when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon, set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. And what is a threshold? It's an entryway, a doorway, a gateway, as it were. So when the destroyer was going through Egypt and Goshen, what was it that God signified on the day of Passover? You put blood on the doorway, the threshold. And when the destroyer saw the blood, he did not enter into the doorway where that blood was. That blood was their protection. All right? And again, this I get back to, you know, superstitions about devils. They can't just jump on you and possess you. If you are saved, if you are born again, they can't cross the doorway because of the blood of the Lamb that has been applied to your life. So, you know, don't constantly live in fear of every day that you do something innocently and all of a sudden the devil shows up. Okay? They hate you anyway. They don't need an excuse other than you're saved. They may try to oppress you, but they cannot possess you. You do not belong to them. You belong to God. And I guarantee you, God makes it known in the realms of spirits that who you belong to. So anyway, you know, that's what comes to mind. So he talked about thresholds or crossroads. Robert Johnson. You know who that is? They pretty much call him the father of rock and roll. Robert Johnson was a nobody guitar player and singer. And he would play these juke houses down in the deep south, down in Mississippi, down toward the Delta area. And he despised, I mean, he was raised up on a sharecropper's farm, like my grandparents were raised, and he despised work. Didn't want to work in the field. Didn't like getting hot. Didn't like working with his hands. Didn't like chopping cotton, like your grandfather and my grandfather did. Didn't want that life. So he chose an alternate life. He chose the life of drunkenness, whoredoms. He chose the life of the pubs, the juke houses, where they played the music. His only problem was he wasn't good at it. And it would come his turn to go up on stage and play. And, I mean, everybody, they didn't want to be mean to the guy, but it was irritating to hear him sing. It was irritating to hear him scratch his fingers across those guitar strings. They didn't like it. So he felt dejected, and he actually wrote about this in a song. And the story is that he went to a crossroads, a literal road intersection where two roads met. Now, in this story, here's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about where the transept meets the nave of every Catholic church in the world. Because as you and I both know, and if you used to be a former Roman Catholic, you know this. There isn't anything done in the Catholic Church, as far as you're concerned, that's done outside of the crossroad in the Catholic Church, where the nave and the transept meet. Okay? That's where you get communion. That's where your dead body lays. That's where you're married. I mean, the sacraments of the Catholic Church are pretty much performed in that exact spot. Well, this is where spirits love to congregate, and this is where Robert Johnson met his. Now, some say he made a deal with the devil. I'm not sure that it was Lucifer himself that showed up. But he's gone a year. When he comes back, they notice that he's added a seventh string to his guitar. They were asking him, you know, what's that for? He wouldn't tell them. And he wanted to get up and play again, and they almost didn't let him. So they said, well, we haven't seen him in a year. Let's see what he can do. And Robert Johnson did things with a guitar that nobody had ever even heard of or even thought of before. All of a sudden now, this guy is a master of seven-string guitar playing. He had fingers about a foot long anyway, and he was able to, with his fingers and with the skill that he was given by whatever spirit he made a deal with, whatever spirit he met at the crossroads, he was able to sing and play in ways not only that he had never done before, no one had ever done the things he did with a guitar. Made a name for himself. Made a lot of money. Made a lot of had a lot of girlfriends. And at least one very jealous husband. Because that's how he died. You want to do some... I did a video on this several years ago, and I probably will bring it up. In fact, I know it will. I'm going to talk about, on a future Pastor Mike Online, the 27 Club. Yep, Robert Johnson was 27 years old. And he was poisoned to death, they say, by a jealous husband of a woman that he was cheating with. That was the price that he paid. He had his fame. He had his fortune. He made a name for himself, made his records, wrote about what I just told you in at least one of the songs. But he met the devil at the crossroads. And that's what this guy is saying. Devils, for some reason. Now, you would think, you know, we've been getting this story from these vampire movies that if you hold a crucifix in front of a vampire, that makes them shriek in terror. I don't know anything like that in the Bible. But what I will tell you is that Satan and every devil he's got despises the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ, because it's their damnation. It's what it is. That I know for a fact. So anyway, they dwell in places. Go to Isaiah 13. You want more information on that? Isaiah chapter 13. Let me pull it up here. I'll pull it up on the screen for you, and then we'll get into my notes. Let's see here. What button am I? There we go. Isaiah 13. And Isaiah 13 again is talking about Babylon. It says, it shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. It's talking about inhabited by the man, Jesus Christ. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. Shepherds. Christ is a shepherd. Pastors and bishops are shepherds. Wherever the church isn't, is where Babylon is. You understand that? Wherever Christ as the shepherd and his sheep are not, this is where Babylon will be. And the spirit of Babylon can be in a woman, or it can be in a man, or it can be in children. I mean, I was, you know, looking at this young damsel in this Gospels that was possessed of an unclean spirit. A child was. And that audit, you know, there's some things to be afraid of and to be a little concerned about. And definitely be concerned over your children and who is allowed to influence them and who may be trying to get in around parental authority to get to your children. I tell you what, my wife and I, we've fought off many a wolf after our children, still doing it. But anyway, verse 21, wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses, look at there, their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. So I'll tell you the story. Lady sat in my office and told me this, looked me in the eye and told me this story, and I believe her. When she was a young woman, she lived at home. She still had a curfew. Who remembers curfews? Amen. And her curfew was a certain time at night, and she had to be home. Didn't matter how old she was staying in their house. You stay in mom and dad's house, they make the rules. And it was a very, very rural, secluded area. Southern Arkansas, down toward the Louisiana border. And she's trying to get home in time. Traveling through a wilderness area. Wilderness. Look at here, wild beasts. shall of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. Same is said in Isaiah 34. So anyway, she said she was about ready to turn, and something caught her eye, and she looked at it. Now, this was, I asked her questions. This wasn't a glance. You know, we can glance at something and think we saw something. We look back, and that's not what we saw. And I asked her, I said, how long did you see this? She said, I don't know, 4 or 5 seconds? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you were looking at somebody's face for 4 to 5 seconds, you could probably identify them in a lineup. And she said, Pastor Mike, it was like a hairy beast or a goat from the waist down. And it was humanoid from the waist up. She said this to me. She said, I know what I saw. Okay? This was not her mistaking the town drunk, walking home without his shirt one night. The story that she told, the location that she gave, the time of night, everything about, and I asked her, I said, were you saved at the time? She said, absolutely. And she said, the evil presence, just the feeling that I got. She said, I knew what it was. Now, naturally, she doesn't go around. She's, you know, has not made a YouTube video on this and has gotten a million hits. She has not telling anybody. Now, I'm not giving you her name. But I believe her. These things are real. And they dwell in certain areas. The reason why I asked her, okay, where was this? And when she told me, I said, well, that matches scripture. You know, look at Isaiah 34, I mentioned that. The cormorant, verse 11, the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch out it upon it the line of confusion. That's what Babylon's all about. That's why I called it Babel. Because of the confusion of the languages. And the stones of emptiness. They shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there. And all her princes shall be nothing. Thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof, and it shall be an habitation of dragons and a court for owls. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow. The screech shall also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. So, you know, I asked her, I said, did you make eye contact? You know, did it look you in the eye? And she had to think about it. She said, no, I don't recall that. So obviously that part of it just, you know, didn't stick out. You know, it wasn't like she's looking the thing in the eye and she could tell the thing was trying to transmit some message to her or something like that. But it was a sighting nonetheless. You know, and she asks herself the question, why did I see this? Why did God let me see that? Well, not 100% positive on that. But what I do believe from the scriptures, that it's very possible, and I would say probable, that she's telling the absolute truth. Since I can see it in scriptures, I would not look at her and say, ma'am, I'm sorry you say you saw that, but I'm looking at the Bible and I'm telling you that's not possible. I can't do that. What I can do is say, yes, that's what the scripture says. And I can also tell you, I've read, you know, quite a few instances where people have seen some pretty scary stuff. And some of those, people said, I just felt like it wanted me to see it. It wanted my attention. It wanted its presence known. They want mankind to know we're here and we're not going away. So anyway, put on the whole armor of God, people. So, and look at verse 16. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want or mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. So, whenever you see something like this, or you're worried about it, get your Bible out. You know, at least the thing didn't follow her home. And, you know, choose her house as a habitation. It was living out in the woods, in the wilderness, where God said you would expect to find things like this. I mean, that's why the Druids did go out into the woods, into the forests. This is why God said, cut down the shrine, you didn't know what I'm talking about. Cut down the trees and the brushes. Cut them down. Because they had built habitations for devils. And all these shrines they put up all over the place. And Josiah said, we're not going to have those. While I'm king, he cut them all down. So they're real. They're real. They have limited power, but it is power. It's a power that you and I cannot fight it off with our mortal being. We cannot do it. Because they are more powerful than our physical substances, is how I'm saying that. So let's look at some of these principalities. Areas of rule and authority. Rulers over nations and peoples, the spirits that control kings and governments. Religious rulers, like the Pope, or a Muslim leader, an imam. Jim Jones, cult leaders. David Koresh, cult leader. Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, if you remember that guy from years ago. All these are cult leaders. And because generally, when you have a cult leader, he has absolute dictatorial authority. Meaning, he can dictate, he can say, I want you to drink this Kool-Aid, and you drink the Kool-Aid. Or when a mob boss says, I want this done, it gets done. Because principalities, there are spirits that rule where people rule. Principalities will often work either in or against pastoral authority. So if a man is a man of God, he's following the Lord, following the scriptures, he is God's man, you bet there's going to be principalities working to unseat his authority in a congregation. Absolutely. Happens all the time. Why do you think now all these churches are being led by wolves? Because principalities got the old pastor out. The old pastor that followed God, that knew where the old paths were and was leading a congregation down the old paths. That pastor is gone now. He either died, or he resigned, or he got run out, or he got in some kind of immorality, stealing money, chasing women, drunkard, whatever. Throw him out, run him out, bring in the new guy. The new guy now, give it 5 to 10 years, they'll be doing sodomite weddings in that church. Home authority. People, home authority is as real as the government of the United States of America. It's as real as the Constitution. It's as real as Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Home authority. Why do you think so many men end up abdicating their authority? And I'm going to say this. When a man puts his hands on his wife, he's abdicated his authority, as far as I'm concerned. Guys, you don't touch your wife. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't slap her. You don't push her. You don't punch her. You don't kick her. In fact, you don't even call her names behind her back. You go around beating on a woman. You're an abomination as far as I'm concerned. Husband's told, commanded to love his wife. And I'm sick of it. I've had it. You've abdicated authority as far as I'm concerned. You have no right to rule. You think it's okay for you to put your hands on your wife and then she's got to do what you say? You're crazier than a bedbug. But that's principalities right there. You want to lose your wife to some other guy? Hit her. Hit her. How many times Christ slapped the church around? How many times? We have a gentle, loving Savior. And He does not rule over me because He's knocked me around enough times to where I do what He says. I follow my Savior because He's treated me well. Now, God is my Father. I am His child. God has a right to discipline me. But your wife is not your child, guys. So, here's principalities. We have the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. He is also, in Daniel 8:25, the Prince of Princes. And again, this is where it gets into, I am diametrically opposed to the charismatic doctrine that says that you must release God to do everything. Because, I mean, oh, you're sick? Oh, you must have a spirit, you must be possessed of a devil of colds, or the flu devil. And the reason why you're still sick is because you haven't released God to heal you of your disease and to cast out that devil. I mean, that doctrine is so wrong on so many points. But to think that God has set me up to be the master, to tell God what He should do, that's insane. Christ is and always has been and always will be the Prince of Princes, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. He does not need my permission or my say-so to rule. And there is no devil that is more powerful than He is unless I release God to do something. That's crazy. That's doctrines of devils right there. Daniel 9:25, Messiah the Prince. Michael your Prince, which is the Prince of the people of Israel. He is the archangel who protects God's people. And when God said, I will bless him that blesseth thee and curse him that curseth thee, you don't want to get Michael on your bad side. Because, I mean, I know God's had to teach Israel some pretty hard lessons over the years. And God has restrained Michael, their prince, and allowed them to be persecuted. And it's going to get worse. So they'll turn to the Lord. But you don't want Michael the Prince against you. And it's not, I'm not even going to say. There's this theory floating around that Michael Jackson was Michael the Prince in the Bible. The archangel, I'm good grief, the guy's a pedophile. Daniel 10:13, the Prince of the Kingdom of Persia. That's a principality. You have the Prince of Persia, Prince of Grecia. Ephesians 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So he is a principality devil. Either working as an authority or working against God, God-ordained authority is the word I'm looking for. So either the devil's already in charge, or he's looking to be in charge. Where do you think Ahab got the idea to want Naboth's vineyard? Didn't Ahab have enough land? Did he not have enough room to plant a garden of herbs somewhere? No, he had to have Naboth's vineyard. Naboth was in charge of that vineyard. He was the authority over that vineyard. And Jezebel, is the agent of that transfer. The transfer of biblical authority to satanic authority is always facilitated by Jezebel. She is Babylon. So, I mean, let's go back to that Isaiah 34. Or in Isaiah 13. Because the shepherds are gone from this area, now Babylon's there. Naboth was the custodian, the shepherd, the vineyard dresser, the husbandman of that vineyard. He had total authority over it. He could do whatever he wanted with the land. It was his land. With restrictions. The only restriction on that land, well, there was a couple of them. He had to give it rest every seventh year. But he was not allowed to sell that land. He was forbidden of Scripture to sell that land or to give it away to anybody other than his rightful heir. That land was given to him by his father, was given to him by his grandfather, handed down through generation to generation, and God said, you not sell that land. Don't raffle it off. Don't gamble it off. Even if it was lost because of a debt, it was given back in the Jubilee year. That land had to stay in Naboth's family. That's why he couldn't sell it. But other than that, he could do whatever he wanted with it. If he wanted a garden of herbs, he could have planted a garden of herbs on. It's his land. But Ahab, even though he was the king, he didn't have a right to it. Until Jezebel showed up. And she transferred Naboth's vineyard to Babylon. That's what happened. And that's what she does. So let's make an application. Let's say, daddies love their little girls, right? And any man touches that girl, you thump him. You get him. That's your daughter. It's your pride and joy. Okay? She's under your rule, under authority. But then some wolf, whoremongering boy shows up. Now, if he's a godly young man, he'll go to the daddy. Daddy, can I have your permission? Or Mr. So-and-so, can I have your permission to talk to your daughter? Yes, but you're going to follow my rules. Yes, sir, absolutely. Wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, I'm old school that way. I think it's how it ought to be done. But if that guy's a wolf, and I've seen him move in, I've seen him come, I'm telling you. He is not going to get daddy's permission. In fact, I mean, I saw this happen. There was this young guy fall in love with this church girl. He never went to church, didn't care nothing about it. But got, you know, he started paying attention to her. And, telling her how pretty she was and, oh, I got to have you in my life, this and that and the other. And, you know, she's a good young lady. Working her own job, paying for her own car, trying to become a responsible adult. So what he does is he tells her, because all he wants to do is sit around in mom and daddy's basement, play video games all day. His skin's as white as a sheet of paper because he never goes outside, never does any work. So he told her, you know, I'm sick of your mom and dad controlling you all the time. You're big enough for that. Why don't you just move out, get us an apartment, and then I'll move in with you. I knew what that guy was doing. He wanted her to work the job, pay for the car, pay for the apartment, pay for all the bills, so he could sit around, lay up with her, and play video games all day. That's a wolf going after the little lamb. That's a principality right there. That's a spirit trying to work around and subvert biblical authority. Several years ago, there was a guy that wanted to, he started coming here, wanted to change the music of the church. And he never asked me, about, you know, hey, could we start singing these kind of songs here? Never said a word about it. Because I guess he knew what I would say. So what he did was, he got in with some people in the church that could sing. And he said, come over to my house. Let's work on some music for our church. They all went over there. They thought he had talked to me and everything was fine about it. And then one night, one of the ladies there called or texted or something like that. I said, what do you got, you know, what are you talking about? She asked me about some kind of song. I said, what are you guys talking about? Well, we're at so-and-so's house, and he's working up these songs for church, and we thought you were in on it. Nope, never, first I've heard of it. And God bless her, she told that guy, and she said, I don't know what you're trying to pull, but that's my pastor. And unless he has sanctioned this and said it's okay, I'm not going to be a part of this. And she left. Bless her heart. She may be listening now, because I'm just as proud of her as I can be. True story happened. And it's happened I don't know how many times in different areas and different ways. Had a man that was here. I had to get rid of him. Well, he started in working in people inside the church then, trying to tell him that he had serious issues with my doctrine. That wasn't what it was. He was working against biblical authority. That's a principality. That's what they do. And you understand something. Where authority is protection. I believe you protect your home, protect your church, protect all of that, because the wolves are everywhere. And when people will work inside the realm of biblical authority, God will bless that. But where they step out of it and try to get around it and sidestep it, that's a wolf. You remember what Jesus said about a thief? Let's see if I can find that verse. Yeah, there it is. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Why would he not ask daddy's permission? Why would he not go to the pastor first? Because that's a wolf. Wanting to do Bible studies. That, come over to my house. We'll have Bible study. What's the pastor say about that? Ah, he don't have to be in charge of everything. When it comes to the doctrine of that church, yeah. Yeah. And it's happened. And I've had to deal with it. Probably have to deal with it again. I don't like it. I hate it. I hate the battle. I hate dealing with people that way. But I'm telling you, satanic influence is satanic influence, and it comes in a multitude of ways. John 12:31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Notice he says it several times. Prince of this world is judged. 1 Corinthians 2, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Who's he talking about? Well, I mean, Herod didn't figure it out, and Pontius Pilate didn't understand it. But who was it really that didn't understand this whole deal about taking Jesus to the cross was about? Who really didn't get that? Well, that was Satan, and that was all his devils. Why didn't God want Satan to understand the power of the cross that was going to defeat him? Because if he had, Satan would have figured out something else different to do other than getting inside Judas Iscariot to betray Christ, to turn him over to the hands of both Pontius Pilate and King Herod. And they would have never crucified Jesus. That's what it says. Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And I'm telling you, these spirits, I mean, they're wiser than Daniel, but they're not all-knowing. I equate it to, like, you know, when my dad first taught me that deer couldn't see the color orange. Dad said, put this orange vest on, this orange hat on. Why? It sent me a mile away. Deer can't see that. Oh, come on. Really? I can see it. Deer can't see it. And you know what? He was right. Deer can't see that color, that blaze orange. We can see it a mile away in the woods. They can't. There's some things, like they say dogs are colorblind. Okay. There's just some things that some beasts don't know, and they never will know. And when it comes to the princes of this world, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. And you can read the Bible out loud all day long, and devils won't understand it. I mean, how many times has the book of Revelation been read out loud where Satan is cast into the pit 1,000 years? He may hear it. It just doesn't sink in with him. He don't want to comprehend it, don't understand it. He still thinks he can win, but he can't. Ezekiel 38, I absolutely believe that the chief prince of Meshach, Gog, is a spirit, not a man. Is a band of devils that may or may not include Russia. May or may not have anything to do with Russia and Germany, the way all the other Bible prophecy books say that it's going to be Russia and Germany and all that. It may or may not. But I'm telling you that I know for a fact that Gog is a devil and a very high-ranking one, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Okay? So, Ezekiel 28:2, that say unto the prince of Tyrus. I mean, look what it says. Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God. Well, it says thou art a man, yes, but then, later on, it says that he's a, let me find it. Ezekiel 28 says he's a cherub. And not just a cherub, the anointed cherub, the covering cherub. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou wast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By thy multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. So that's a devil. That's a very high-ranking, extremely powerful devil. That, by the way, does not respond to you going, little bitty, like that. The devils just don't go, oh, look, he made the sign. Let's go get him, boys. And it just doesn't work that way, all right? I hate to bust your bubble. But I'm not a card-carrying member of the Illuminati, never have been, never will be. 2 Thessalonians 2, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto him, to be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Look at what he does. He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. That is a principality who is bucking up against God-ordained authority. The temple of God does not belong to him. The seat of God does not belong to him. And yet, he presumes to take over both of them. He's exalting himself above all that is called God. So, a principality spirit is what tells a theologian that the Bible has errors in it. And that it's not the final authoritative word of God. That's what a principality spirit does. So, let's say you have a church. And that church's pastor stuck with the King James. Never questioned it. Taught the King James all his life. Like an old pastor I grew up under, Brother Harry Asher. He never was my pastor, but I knew him. And I remember talking to him several years ago, and he said, "Mike, I don't have a problem with any translation of the Bible as long as it's the King James." Okay, well, he died. And the pastor that came in behind him didn't believe what he believed. So now, in that church that used to only use the King James Bible, and that was it, which means they never questioned the authority of God's Word. Now they do. Now the pastor says, "Now, a better translation is this," or, "Actually, that is a poor translation." What he's saying is the words that are in your Bible are wrong. And then it falls upon him to correct God, is what he's doing. He is correct, and I know this because I did it. He corrected God. And ask the question, what verse did I ever use to prove that the Bible was wrong? What verse did I ever quote to somebody and say, "Well, it says right here in Isaiah 12, verse 18, that the corruption would manifest in the Word of God"? Where does it say that anywhere? It doesn't. But if I say it, then I have exalted me and my intellect above the authority of God's Word. And that's a principality spirit. And that's what we're wrestling against. And I want you to understand this. Every time doubt creeps into your mind, and it happens. It happens with me. It's happened with lots of people. Some people never admit it, but it does. Doubts creep in every now and then. They show up. It's part of who we are. This is why we have to have a Bible to begin with. It's because every now and then we doubt. And when we doubt, we go back to the Word of God. God's Word says it. Okay, I'm fine. I'm good again. I'm fine. I'm back to where I was. I'm good. But every time doubt comes in, that's not a verse of the Bible that gives you doubt. That's a principality that says to you, "Yea, hath God said." That's a principality. "By me, God said, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth." God said that. And so, does God allow devils to go out into the world and stir up doubt and disbelief in people's minds. Well, obviously he does, or they wouldn't be out there doing it. Unless, of course, you believe that all the evil angels out there are in utter rebellion to God and they never do what God wants them to do, which is not biblical. Because we even read it a while ago. Right here, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, for which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you not understand what that verse means? God wanted those devils to inspire all of those who hated Jesus. God wanted the devil to get inside Judas Iscariot, to have him delivered over to the Sanhedrin, so he could brought up before Pilate, so the Jews would say, crucify him, so they would hang him on the cross, so he could rise again on the third day. It was all the plan of God, every bit of it. It's the day that you find out all the time you were playing chess with God, God was moving your piece as well. So God's never going to lose, ever. Because he controls everything, including all of the rebellious devils. Yeah, principalities. Look at this. This is an interesting verse. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. Think about it. When you live righteously, you only have one prince. It's the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Princes. Jesus Christ, Messiah the Prince. When you live right, live according to God, it's one prince. How many lights are there out during the daytime up in the sky? Just one. Just one. One. That's it. How many are there out at night, though? Oh, there's billions and billions of them. And that's the situation we have in this country. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. I mean, we went from a three-tiered form of government where you have a president, a Congress, and nine judges to a president, a Congress, nine judges, and an endless amount of bureaucrats, unelected officials, cabinet positions, treaties with the United Nations or other nations. I mean, We're not ruled over just by the president and the Congress and the judges in this country. We're ruled over by thousands upon thousands of bureaucrats, codes, stipulations, rules, guidelines, you name it. You can't hardly add a stick of a 2x4 to your house, but what you've got to get 15 different people in a county office involved in it. That's how much we've yielded over our rights in this country to, because of the transgressions. Proverbs 28:16, the prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor. I mean, how true is this Bible? Look at the state of our country. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, because we elected people that didn't believe the Bible and had no respect for it whatsoever. The oppression is taking over. You see, it won't be long, will it, before they start doing what they do in China when it comes to having more than, let's say, one or two children, forced abortions. You don't think that could happen here? Forcing ministers to do sodomite weddings. You don't think that'll happen? Sure it will. I mean, I'm announcing right now to the entire world, I'm not ever going to do a sodomite wedding. So, at some point, I'm going to be a target for their oppression. They'll say, you either do what we tell you to do, or we'll take away your job, we'll take away your church, we're going to seize your bank accounts, we're going to do everything. It's already happened, it's going to happen more. Isaiah 1:23, thy princes are rebellious, companions of thieves. So you understand these principalities. They want to take away what authority is in place so that they can then replace that authority, just like Jezebel with Naboth's vineyard. That's their nature. That's what they do. So, you know, getting back to like haunted houses, spirits, if there's spirits that live in a particular house for whatever reason, and they don't like you because you're there in their house, it's kind of like cats. Don't get mad at me, but I'm not a cat man. I'm telling you. Because cats look at you like, what are you doing in my house, Jack? Excuse me, that was my couch? Get off my couch! They'll just look at you like that. I don't like that. Okay? But they oppress. They terrorize people. Why? Because you're in their domain. And if you don't follow their rules, and if you don't please them, then they will make terror in your life. These things really happen. The lady that saw the satyr, could it not very well be that he was standing there saying, this is my area, these are my woods? Could very well be. I don't know. But that's what they are. They're very rebellious. And if you're trying to impose biblical authority, biblical rule, and I could tell you story after story after story of things that I have seen since I've been a husband and a father, things that I've seen since I've been a pastor, or even as a church member, not a pastor, where I saw people buck against either the authority of a pastor or the authority of scriptures. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, the Bible says. God is absolutely dead serious about this. So now you understand what's going on in our country. Okay? Here we have some people. No, I'm not saying they're all good, honest, decent Christian people. But they believe in the Constitution. In the state of Missouri, I'll just apply it to the state of Missouri. In the state of Missouri, we have a governor. Well, I'll say it like this. We had a governor that was very pro-Constitution and pro-Second Amendment, pro-American rights first. And it didn't take them long before they found a way to get rid of him. They forced him to resign. So we still got the lieutenant governor was still a pretty decent man as far as the Constitution is concerned. He's conservative. And so this is why. And we have a majority in both houses in the state of Missouri. So we're fixing to ban most abortions in the state of Missouri. Remember, it was Missouri voted 80% to put it in our Constitution that said marriage is between a male and a female only. And of course, the Obama Supreme Court got that overruled, got that thrown out. But that was the will of the people in Missouri. And so, you know, hey, you want to come to someplace nice, come to Missouri. You can still homeschool your children in the state of Missouri. And they're just things that we stand for the most part. There's a deal going on over in Illinois right now where a vast majority of the people of the state of Illinois are wanting to figure out some way of segregating Chicago out from the rest of the state. Because they said, you know, Illinois is a very rural area other than Chicago. And Chicago is very corrupt and very liberal. And these good farmers of the state of Illinois don't like that. And so they're, I'm not kidding you, they came out in the news yesterday, they're trying to figure out a way to segregate off Chicago from the rest of the state. So the rest of the state actually has a fighting chance to stand up for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and so on. You see, it's because of Chicago that they don't recognize my concealed carry license in Illinois. If I drive just over to Illinois just for something, to go apple picking over at the orchard over here, I got to make sure that my gun is in the trunk of the car and the bullets are taken out, or I could get arrested. And it's not because of Southern Illinois and Central Illinois, it's because of Chicago. So that's principalities. That's how they work. That's the kind of the that's how those devils do things. They don't believe in the Second Amendment. They don't believe in the Constitution. They don't care. Get everything changed. Let's get the Constitution out of the way. Let's get the Word of God out of the way. Let's get biblical dads and biblical husbands out of the way. Cast them out of the way. And husbands, don't help them out. Don't help principalities get yourself thrown out. Can I hear God's people say amen? It's good to be with you today. God bless you. I love you. You're the reason why we do what we do. Okay? If you have anything you want me to see, send it to witness@cryptidbible.com. I'd love to hear your stories. Okay? Now that you know that somebody actually saw a satyr. Okay? And I've got stories coming up to watch my broadcast about what is it called? Cockatrice and basilisks. I mean, I'm talking about real ones that people have seen. Okay? All that's coming up. Watchmen video broadcast. Gotta love it. It's an interesting world we live in. That's why you gotta think Bible.